up the show, and thanks for listening to Africa News Tonight.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Muckbill Yabaro. And we'll be together for the next several days as I fill in for Sonny Young while he's on vacation. Welcome to the July 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We start off today's show with an update of the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, as I had promised daily. I spoke with my colleague Mike Hove about the Super Falcons of Nigeria's 3-2 win against host nation Australia. We also touched on what the other African teams can do to secure some wins, as well as the U.S. draw with the Netherlands 1-1, and the other fixtures that were played today. Take a listen. On the show today, we have my colleague, my man, Mike Hove. Mike, it is a pleasure to have you on the show today.
I appreciate it, Mike. I appreciate it, man.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get right into it. You know, this has been the FIFA Women's World Cup 2023. It's been super exciting. African teams have been playing, trying to get their first win. And finally, Nigeria gets their first win against the host nation, Australia, 3-2. Talk to me about that game, Mike.
Yeah, man, it was a really, really good game. The Super Falcons really pulled it off. They've been playing well throughout the whole tournament, dating back to the opening game against Canada. And today they just continued the same strategy, man, and it worked out. 3-2, the goalkeeper, Nadozi Chiamaka, still playing amazingly. And, of course, the forwards, one of them, Uchenna Kanu, really pulled it off today. She managed to get herself on the score sheet. So it was a really good game, man. Australia obviously fought up until the end, man. It almost got a little shaky towards the end, but the Matildas didn't have enough to pull it back, and the Super Falcons won 3-2.
I definitely agree. I was also watching that game, you know, having seen that second goal that Australia scored late into extra time. Game's almost done, but they were able to get that, you know, and that's really what it takes sometimes just to get that momentum. Because they do have the crowd on their side, but the Super Falcons were able to get it done. What do you think was different from their approach today in comparison to their game against Canada, their opening match?
You know, Mufbo, the gameplay looked very similar, if I'm going to be honest with you. It's just today they seemed a little more hungry. I think the momentum was carried from their fixture against Canada. Of course, looking at all the standings and the performances, Nigeria seems to be the only African team that's really representing as much so far. Now, obviously, Nigeria and Zambia are the only two teams that have played two fixtures so far. But Nigeria really looked like today they were just hungry, man. They just wanted to make a point. I think they're really looking for that qualification spot to the knockout phase. And it's looking very favorable so far. After today's win, they're topping Group B. And if they're able to keep the same momentum in their final fixture, we'll find them in the knockout phases.
I think will be very exciting, not only for Nigerians, but it's almost like they are going to turn into the flag bearers for Africa, unless any of the other African teams can kind of make some things shake. So let's talk about now the U.S. national team, you know, back-to-back defending champions going for their three-peat. First time in over a decade that they have been trailing in a match, but they were able to, you know, equalize and at least finish in a draw and not concede a defeat to the Netherlands. But what was that game like to you?
I mean, look, it's football. Impossible is nothing. Shout out to Netherlands for really shocking the world. It was, you know, kind of disappointing watching the U.S. pull off that performance. They really showed their class, of course, by being able to avoid the defeat. They're still on top of their group. And based on their previous performance against Vietnam, I thought they still have it in them to make sure that they can get that three-peat. If they do, it's going to be something historical. They've still got a lot of amazing players on the team. Sophia Smith, even though she wasn't able to score today, against Vietnam, she really pulled it off. She still has potential to do amazing things throughout the rest of the tournament, and possibly, in my opinion, is a candidate for the Golden Boot. So I wouldn't rule them out, even though today's performance really wasn't up to their typical standard. They still have that in them to produce that three-peat.
Yeah, no, I think I definitely would agree with you as well. I think it was a very challenging game, but I think sometimes, though, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, you'd rather be tested like this earlier on in the group phases so that you don't take any of your competitors for granted, you know what I mean? Because sometimes I feel like when you've been winning so much and you've been steamrolling through so many different teams, you kind of, I wouldn't say underrate your opponent, but you don't really come into it with maybe the same type of hunger that Nigeria came into it today, right?
Of course.
So I think...
I mean, of course. Mm-hmm. So you need to consider the fact that, they, like you mentioned, the United States is arguably the most acclaimed team at the World Cup, at the Women's World Cup. They're probably the most accomplished team at the Women's World Cup. And so we can't take away the fact that they walked into this tournament with their heads held high and a little confident. And there's a possibility that today there was a little complacency that snuck in and Netherlands was able to pull off a draw. But ideally, I think this was a wake-up call for them to understand that from this point onwards, they need to be that the stars that we know them to be. So I think today's game was a wake-up call for them. What, like I said earlier on, they're still on top of Group E. So the stress of having to, you know, pull off something marvelous isn't necessarily there. They just need to make sure that they pick up another win in the next game, and they're definitely going to be going through.
Yeah, no. Now, as for their next match, right, they play Portugal. That's coming off of a 2-0 victory, you know, with some momentum against Vietnam. What are your thoughts on that? You know, the U.S. definitely, because they are at the top of the table, have a easier route to qualify. They don't necessarily have to win. Even with the draw, they go through. But who's to say that Portugal isn't a dangerous adversary?
It's very possible. I think the odds are in their favor. Now, of course, granted, complacency should not be a thing. Based on the previous appearances and how what we know the U.S. to be, I think the odds are in their favor. However, once again, like we said earlier on, football. This is football, and shockers have happened time and time again. And so the United States shouldn't walk into that fixture with complacency. If they do pull it off, then they definitely are going to be advancing a lot. But the odds really are in their favor of them going across the next stage.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think I would have to agree with you as well. I think this was something that they needed a little kind of like a bump on the road, but it kind of, you know, strengthens them moving forward. So I think definitely their next match, they should be very well prepared. Mike, any of the other teams that have not necessarily played yesterday, but, you know, that have been playing in the tournament that have caught your eye excitement-wise?
Speaking of African teams, the team that, of course, was up the Super Falcons that have a very high likelihood of going to a knockout phase. But aside from them, we've got Banyana South Africa. Yes, they lost against Sweden in their opening fixture, but they really put on a good performance, and the coach applauded them. And we saw the class after they were leading the Swedish for a while. You know, in football, things go wrong, and of course, they conceded in the dying minutes of the game. But as they play against Argentina, really, there's a possibility that they could upset. There's a possibility that they could flip the page. And if they do win their last two fixtures, they are going to be joining the Super Falcons in the next knockout phase. Now, once again, like I said earlier on, the Super Falcons is still not determined as to whether or not they're going to be making it to the knockout phase, but the odds are in their favor. And I think if Banyana are able to pull off a good performance tonight, and put up a good performance in their final third group round fixture, they can find themselves moving to the knockout phases too. So I think those are the two African teams that really have put up the performances to be noted. Zambia are out of contention. They lost their two games, goal aggregate of negative 10. So that ruled them out automatically. Morocco have a very, very, very extremely tall order. They have to win against South Korea, and if they do win against South Korea, they definitely have to wallop them to make sure that they account for that goal difference, and they need to make sure that they win against Colombia. Both of those are extremely tall orders, but once again, it's football. Impossible is nothing. The same way that they lost terribly in their opening fixture, it's very possible that they could make it up for them. What I do want to note is that both Zambia and Morocco are debutants at the World Cup, and so the fact that they were able to make it this far and put up these performances is something to be applauded. But you know, it's football. And I guess the one thing that's being noted by a lot of analysts is that this World Cup is pointing out the difference between, I guess, investment, resources. A lot of that has been pointed out. The Super Falcons and Banyana Banyana are both African nations that heavily invest in women's football. And so it's not surprising for them to be able to be putting up these performances. Ideally, within the next World Cup, maybe Zambia and Morocco will be able to do the same.
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree with that. You know, when we look at a team like Nigeria, who's been around since the inception of the Women's World Cup in 1991, you know, it's only a matter of time. You know, if you have that much consistency, obviously, you will, year in and year out, you're constantly going to keep getting better. Infrastructure will get stronger. So I do think that, you know, Morocco and Zambia, simply by being here, you know, is a huge step. And we will be seeing more from them. And if we really look at it, even on the men's side has always had that discrepancy as well. It wasn't until recently that we saw a team like a Morocco team really show their class, because their players, you know, have played abroad and have come back home, and the infrastructure there has gotten a lot better as well. But yeah, I think it's an exciting time for women's football. Yeah, man, I'm super excited. Lastly, as we mentioned earlier, we were talking about the African teams. If we're talking about any of the other teams that have shown some kind of excitement, what have your thoughts been on maybe the Brazils or the Swedens?
Brazil put on their class in their last game. Of course, they've been doing really amazing. Their opening was 4-0 against Panama. I think they looked like they were doing the samba on the field. They were looking amazing with that 4-0 victory. Next up is France. It's going to be a tough one, but the Samba girls have it in them to pull it off. And their last fixture is Jamaica. That one is in the bag for the Samba girls. Of course, I keep noting, this is football. Impossible is nothing, so an upset is possible. However, the odds are completely in their favor. I think the Samba girls are playing stellar football. They've definitely shown their class throughout this World Cup. And it's going to be interesting to see how teams advance, especially from the knockout phase and above. It's all going to be class. It's something I'm looking forward to. So once again, I'm advocating for the African teams to step in. If a Nigeria can make it through, if a Banyana can make it through and actually show the stellar performances, it's going to be really interesting in the knockout phases.
I'm super excited. I know you're super excited. Definitely we'll be having you back on during the knockout phase. Mike Hove, thanks for being with us today on the show, brother.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
Staying on the pitch, Sam Amadou, an African women's football analyst, spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye about the Super Falcons of Nigeria's 3-2 win against the Australians. Nigeria is at the top of Group B with 4 points, and the team plays Ireland in their last group match. Amadou says the Super Falcons have lots of potential moving forward in the rest of the tournament.
A remarkable performance from Nigerian girls. They really showed great character and resilience, great discipline defensively, and also really did come out incredibly in attack to really get those goals. It really shows that there's much more in this team, and I think they took the game to the Australians. And this is just a testament to the fact that the team is filled with depth, experience, and great professional players who really have great potential to dominate on the big stage, and some already are becoming big stars. So I think it's no surprise that the team has really come of age, and they've really put to display their experience playing previous Women's World Cup tournaments. I think it's really, really an excitement. It's somewhat a great moment to celebrate, and also a great time to feel like one being a Nigerian and also supporting the Super Falcons. So I think it's a beginning of many great things to come for the Super Falcons and for Nigeria.
What are some of the special attributes or style that gave the Super Falcons victory over the Matildas of Australia in a Group B game?
Yeah, well, looking at the tactical plan that we set out today, I think realistically we saw some definite lessons from the initial game I think we seem to have really known best how we couldn't really find much balance to dominate against, to manage the game against Canada and also to possibly dominate in key areas. And realistically, these were the changes we saw in today's game. And from what decisions Randy took tactically, it was helpful. Starting Oshuala on the bench and also bringing in young legs and talented players like Uchenna Kanu to really create some sort of fresh energy and vibes in the attack. And I think this was helpful. It really brought out great, great impact in the attack. And also the presence of Halep was organized the game. We were very much solid defensively and we just couldn't waste chances. And also we were, even though we had shaky starts in the early games, in the early stages of the game defensively, but and I think those situations were put to rest. And look at how well they turned out in the remainder of the game, minutes of the game. I think this speaks only about how solid we could be on our good days. And I think this was just one of our best days in office. And tactically speaking, I think Randy did got it all right. And I think he deserves full credit for how his team set up and also turned out in the end. Maximum credit to the team and also to the technical crew.
The Super Falcons will play against the Republic of Ireland in their last group game. What are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, looking forward to our last game. Now we've won one first game and also adding that to a draw, we are top of the group already with 4 points. And I think with that in mind, we definitely have everything all in our hands now to play for. We need to go up against the debutants, that is the Republic of Ireland, to get towards the point. But again, it's important that we also make a very strong statement, getting a win also. And so we know best taking up on site like this. So I think it will really, really speak volume about how convincing we could be in the competition and also the possible threats we could be in terms of in the race to glory at the Women's World Cup. So I think it's so much at stake for us. I think we just cannot afford to take our foot off the pedal at this stage of the competition. So getting a point could be very huge against Ireland. But again, I think it will be fair. We target a win so that ending with a draw will be somewhat a consolation. And just to add, going against Ireland, I think we still have some quality players that are yet to be used. Jennifer Achengene came in much earlier in the second half. We've not seen Gift Monday. We've not seen a couple of players. Okoronkwo really didn't make much impact. I think she's probably getting into her mojo. So we expect to see some more tough legs. Okwara Nozie also still on the bench. So quite a number of players that are yet to be used. So I think we hope to see some of these players really coming in, at least a bit of rest for the other players who are yet to have that playing opportunity in the game. So I think it's a lot more to expect in the next game. At least hopefully we can have much more fresh legs, which will also give rest to some of the key players that have been involved, at least ahead of our knockout stage matches.
That was Sam Amadou, an African women's football analyst, speaking with reporter Mike Mbonye from Abuja, Nigeria. In more football news, the match between the Netherlands and the U.S. ended in a 1-1 draw on Thursday. The two sides faced each other in a thrilling group stage showdown in Wellington, New Zealand. My VOA colleague Gwen Newton has comments from the coaches on both sides ahead of the match and a look at Group E rankings. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Mukbil. Thursday's matchup between the U.S. and the Netherlands was a familiar one. The two sides have met on three separate occasions, in the Netherlands in 2020 and the Tokyo Olympic Games in 2021. But this latest clash felt more like a rematch of the Women's World Cup final in 2019, when defending champions USA defeated the Dutch side 2-0 for their second straight World Cup title. The United States won all three of their previous games against the Netherlands, but this time the Americans had to settle for a 1-1 draw. The Netherlands struck first on Thursday with a goal netted by Jill Ward early in the first half, and for the first time in over a decade, the U.S. trailed at halftime at a World Cup game. But the Americans got even in the second half with an equalizing header by Lindsey Horan for the draw. Thursday's result gives the U.S. a slight lead on goal difference over the Netherlands at the top of Group Group E. On the eve of the match, U.S. team coach Vlatko Andonovski spoke at a press conference where he predicted the team's clash with the Netherlands would be just as tough as the World Cup final 4 years ago.
I'm sure it's going to be a challenge. You know, they're a great team, very organized, very disciplined team. And we saw in the first game that they played the threats that they have in every line. But in same time, I want to say that we're ready for it. We've we've trained, prepared a lot for this tournament and especially for this game, and excited and looking forward to it. For us, it's just a very important game in the group stage, and we'll do whatever it takes to be successful in it.
American midfielder Rose Lavelle made her breakout debut at the 2019 Women's World Cup. She returns to the tournament with fond memories of that final match against the Netherlands and called the Dutch side the biggest hurdle in this year's group stage.
That match was fun. It was really competitive, physical. But I think that was 4 years ago. I think both teams are completely different players, different coaches. So I think it's a fun memory, but I think we have a new mindset for this game. I think we know every time we play Netherlands, it's going to be a great game. They have a lot of experience on the field, and I think it's going to be fun.
Dutch coach Andreas Jonker told reporters he expected the match and the women's tournament would be a fight to the finish, and he thinks the game against the U.S. team reflected the highest example of modern women's football. And he said women's football teams all over the world are aiming to beat the Americans.
I think on all continents, countries work very hard to close the gap with the United States. On your continent, for example, Canada, Brazil, Australia, and also in Europe, we work very hard to close the gap. And I think the whole women's football world is very interested in getting an answer on the question, are we getting closer? And the feeling is yes, because of the improvement all over the world.
And as the women's game continues to grow internationally, the U.S. national team is regarded as one of the sport's global leaders, both on and off the pitch. And head coach Vlatko Andonovski says he now sees the gap between top and lower ranked teams beginning to close.
We've been saying this all along, that these teams that are ranked anywhere between 15 and 40 are the ones that have grown probably the most and are the ones that makes this tournament interesting. You know, whether it's Nigeria or Jamaica or, you know, we saw South Africa, Philippines. Like these are the teams that actually show how much women's soccer game has grown.
The U.S. women's national team is the back-to-back champion at the FIFA World Cup tournament, and the women hope to make history by clinching an unprecedented third successive title. Their next group stage match against third-place Portugal takes place on Tuesday. 2019 runners-up, the Netherlands, are in a quest to secure their first World Cup title. The Dutch next face Vietnam, who at the bottom of Group E, also on Tuesday. And that is all from me, Mukbil. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. In rugby news, New Zealand's national team, the All Blacks, are favorites to clinch their 20th rugby championship title this weekend. They face Australia in Melbourne on Saturday as the Southern Hemisphere rugby competition draws to a close. South Africa plays Argentina in Johannesburg and still has a shot at lifting the trophy. Myron Nacker in Durban reports. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings to you, Mukbil. The Southern Hemisphere's annual rugby tournament, the Rugby Championship, is set for a thrilling conclusion this weekend. The four top teams in the Southern Hemisphere play each other in the championships. The All Blacks top the rankings after wins against Argentina and South Africa. They face the Australians, who are at the bottom of the rankings with two consecutive losses. They play Saturday at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. Australian coach Eddie Jones had an aggressive tone, saying his team is putting pressure on the New Zealanders.
Imagine tomorrow or Saturday night, 85,000 people, their biggest rugby crowd since 2007. And they've come to watch, you know, two teams that have got good respect for each other, but, you know, at the same time, they they dislike each other. You know, and there's nothing better than winning against New Zealand because you feel the country sinking, right? It's not just rugby sinks, the country sinks. You know, the whole economy goes down. They're like, the Prime Minister's there with his fingers crossed hoping the All Blacks win because he knows the economy's going to drop as they lose. And so we can have that effect.
New Zealand has struggled against the Wallabies in World Cup years. The team has lost their last four matches against Australia in the build-up to the global tournament. This year's Rugby World Cup starts September 8th in France. All Blacks coach Ian Foster didn't engage in fiery talk ahead of the game. While they may be overwhelming favourites, Foster says they cannot take the Aussies lightly.
We haven't got a great track record in Australia in World Cup years, and we know if we fall asleep that we'll be in big trouble. So, you know, I'm sure the MCG is going to be a very big, noisy, parochial crowd, full of Kiwis, but you know, I've got no doubt that it's going to be a typical Kiwi-Aussie game, and regardless of their form going.
South Africa and Argentina, two teams that play a robust and physical brand of rugby, will go head-to-head at Ellis Park on the hallowed turf where the Springboks claimed their first World Cup back in 1995. The Boks were humbled by the All Blacks in Auckland 2 weeks ago, while Los Pumas ground out a last-gasp win against the Aussies in Sydney. South African forward Trevor Nyakane says fans are in for a brutal clash.
We definitely know that you can't. They are no slouch. They're not just going to go away. They're going to keep coming the whole day. It doesn't matter how much you dominate them. They don't give up. They don't go away. They enjoy putting their head in the dark places where most people don't really like being. So I think that's the most difficult part of playing them.
The Springboks are already looking to defend their 2019 World Cup title. Backline player Damien Dialendi says the Rugby Championship provides the team with ideal game time to work out their best combinations.
Training-wise, I think we put each other under a lot of pressure. I know we put each other under a lot of pressure. I know us as the backline, we're quite lucky. Just to be running all day and we get to look across the field and see how the forwards are getting stuck into each other.
The All Blacks may well be declared winners even before a ball is kicked at Ellis Park on Saturday. Due to the time difference between South Africa and Australia, the match between the All Blacks and the Wallabies will take place at 11:45 a.m. local time, more than 5 hours before the game in Johannesburg. This is Myra Nyker for VOA Africa in Durban.
The 9th edition of Le Jeu de la Francophone, or Francophone Games, begins Friday in Kinshasa, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This will be the first time since the pandemic that athletes and artists have gathered for this global cultural exchange. VOA's Anthony Labruto has more.
On the eve of the Francophone Games, workers in Kinshasa are racing to complete preparations for the Games. The Games are a gathering of nations from the International Organization of the Francophone, or French-speaking equivalent of the Commonwealth of Nations. Some 3,000 athletes and artists from about 30 countries are arriving for the July 28th kickoff. Unlike other global athletic events like the Women's World Cup or the Olympics, the Francophone Games includes cultural and fine arts competitions that can include storytelling, poetry, or sculpture making. The Democratic Republic of Congo was originally supposed to host the Games in 2019, but the event was postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic. They were to take place in 2021, but were again pushed back until this year due to concerns about the venue being completed on time. The Congolese government believes that the extra time has given the country the opportunity to update its venues to world-class standing.
So at this point, the essential is done. We are waiting for the Games, and for the rest, we will be rather happy for our various young people who can participate in sports competitions or prepare for major competitions in modern conditions. And the DRC will be happy to receive competitions for all disciplines involved in the Jeu de la Francophonie.
The beginning events are in women's cycling and freestyle wrestling. Anthony Labruto, VOA News, Washington.
That's a wrap for the July 27th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Muck Bill Yabaro in Washington, in for Sonny Young. On the sunny side of sports.
get it?